Hi, I'm Alan Birchall. I'm here to talk to you about taking Windows security to the next level with group policy. Who here has group policy in their organization? Excellent. Who here wants their organization to be more secure? Excellent. Who here's a developer? Well, if you put your hand up, sir, maybe not the session for you, but still stay along so long as you give me good evals, I don't mind. You do both. He's both. Okay. So, DevOps, that's what it is. So, today's session, I'm kind of hoping to scare the pants off you, figuratively speaking, and then actually give you some practical advice that you can take back to your organization and actually do right now, today, if you wanted to, but don't because you're at Ignite. But basically give you information or show you end to end. So I'm going to go through setting up some security. As the description said, I'm going to go through the local admin password service or LAPS. So I'm going to say why that's such an important tool, how to implement it, how you could use it in your organization to keep your organization more secure. Okay. So basically what I'm going to go through is who's here heard of Pass the Hash? The IT security vulnerability Pass the Hash. Some hands went down then, but anyway. Pass the Hash is an attack technique. It's used by malicious people who have bad intentions for your organization to attack your organization. It's usually taken advantage by people who call attacks called advanced persistent threats. In other words, people who get into your organization and stay in there and onto your computers and try to like kind of figure out what's going on within your organization before they actually move and go, you know, they don't just want to crash your server straight away. They actually want to find out all the good juicy information and then either cause a lot of damage, either by causing damages to your computers or even more damage by, you know, revealing information about the organization. So I'm going to also talk about some changes that happened in group policy. They related to Pass the Hash. Some of the things that were in group policy weren't so good. I've actually been up on this stage and described to you how to use some of these settings before. And it turned out that at the time it was kind of a good idea, but now, you know, security, ever-changing world, always have to stay up to date. So some things have changed recently in group policy. You may or may not have noticed. Because there's been a few updates that have come out that have done some changes and people are going, whoa, what's going on here? So I'm going to go through those changes, how it affects you, what you can do about it. But then I'm going to talk to you about how you manage local passwords the new way. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, basically that's the local admin password service. Kind of spoiling it there for you, but that's what really what I'm here to talk to you about today. And how you can use group policy still to manage passwords in your organization to help keep it secure, to help mitigate Pass the Hash attacks. This is not the panacea talk on Pass the Hash attack and, you know, getting your organization secure. This is a talk about one very particular part of it. Mitigating Pass the Hash attacks is a multi-layered approach to security in your organization. This is not the only thing. I've got lots of links and references in my document that go to the Microsoft webpage about Pass the Hash attack. But basically, this is quite interesting because Pass the Hash attacks recently have been in the news. So Saudi Aramco recently, you know, a while ago now, what was that, 2012, 30,000 workstations had been hit by a virus at Saudi Aramco. That's a big oil company, as it suggests there. They had to reformat all those machines. Who here wants to reformat 30,000 machines? Only if it's an upgrade to Windows 10. That's what I'd say. But, yeah, so, major companies. New York Times, right? China, as it says there, hackers in China attack Times, the New York Times. Advanced persistent threat. Get into the organization, stop and wait and listen on the computer and see what you can find out and then slowly make your way around surreptitiously trying to find weaknesses and oh, if I go here, I can go there, and if I go here, I can get there. Oh, and then this and then that. Advanced persistent threats. Chinese hackers, Wall Street Journal, again, New York Times. I'm not picking on China. These are just what the headlines say, okay? right? But other companies, so, and also Target. Who heard about the Target vault attacks, right? All the credit cards ever used at Target in America got compromised. Do you know how they got compromised? They had the same password on every single workstation. And they gave the same password to every single workstation for someone who I think had to manage the air conditioning system or the HVAC or whatever the system. Anyway, it was really convenient. Oh, you need access to the point of sale machine? Oh, you just use this password. Oh, well, what about that workstation? Yeah, it's the same password for all. Okay, not so good. And also, so you also see, you'll see bulletins about highly critical vulnerabilities in software, such as this recent example with Flash. Basically, it's how do you get your foot in the door to get malware on your machine? Well, as much as Google likes Flash and they're trying to kill it, Flash is still a part of the web. It's not just Flash, it's Java, it's all these other add-ins you can have for your browser. But basically, any software that has a vulnerability, right, is an attack vector. You know, it could also be Windows, it could be IE, of course. But basically, zero-day exploits are ways that malicious players can get foots in the door into your organization. All right, so as much as you want to stay up to date and patched, there's still that slight chance that even if you're fully patched, you still could get malware into your organization. And this example here was, you know, sophisticated attack using Flash. Well, basically, sophisticated attack was trying to get access to a machine, get a foothold on that machine to put a backdoor in there. All right, so there's always things coming up in the news about this. So pass the hash, what is it? How does it work? All right, I'm going to kind of go through two examples of where how pass the hash works. It's kind of like the same, but the effect is somewhat different, but you'll kind of get the idea. Fred has a laptop. Fred has a laptop, and he has email, and he has internet, and he's just your user in your organization. He doesn't have access to many systems, but, you know, he just works around. He, of course, logs on with a user account called Fred, right? A hash is what Windows does to your password when you log on, all right? Most of the time, what you're using is NTLM or Kerberos authentication across your network. There's some, you know, basic digest authentication requirements to actually keep a clear text password in your computer, but basically what you have is a hash. A hash is used, let's pick on NTLM because NTLM's the worst. The NTLM, the LSAS process on your local machine, passes the hash of the password across the network to a file server and says, here's my password, hash. File server verifies the hash and goes, yep, okay, no worries. All right, so it's not actually the password, but it's derived from the password. The hash for NTLM actually changes. Does anyone know how often it changes for NTLM? Yeah? When you change your password. So if you have a password policy of 60 days, your hash is valid for 60 days. Okay, for Kerberos, it's actually by default about 10 hours because the Kerberos ticket changes every 10 hours. Okay, so window of opportunity is smaller on Kerberos, but it's still there. Okay, so anyhow, malware gets in on Fred's laptop. Fred runs the malware. Who deploys their computers in their organization using an account that has admin credentials? Some sort of admin credentials to deploy a command, some sort of script, right? So there could be Fred's hash, and the malware could attack Fred's hash. And so the malware could use now Fred's information. But the malware now is installed on the local machine. It might use some sort of privilege escalation attack, and now it's got local admin access on the machine. And now it's like, oh, there's a cache credential there by the domain administrator who logged on 6 weeks ago. Password policy is every 8 weeks, so that hash is still valid. Right, so not only could it compromise Fred's hash, so now the malware can act as Fred. Note that I'm talking about his hash, not his password. So I haven't even had to install a keylogger. So I haven't even had to wait for him to log off and log back on to get his password, because I've got his equivalent password, which is his hash. All right, and then it goes to another machine, goes across the network. Who here has a network at work? Everybody, right. And who have computers connected to networks? All of them. Okay, so Fred's laptop can talk to Sue's laptop. Okay, Fred's laptop uses a hash, connects to Sue's laptop. Maybe it wasn't Fred, because Fred wasn't a local admin, but maybe the malware got, again, domain admin credentials or local admin credentials. Might not even domain admins. It's now infected Sue's laptop. Sue's laptop has access to very confidential file server information. All right. So the malware, which now has infected Sue's laptop, right, using Fred's credentials or some other local admin credentials, can now access Sue's accounts, and then it goes, oh, I can see this file server, aka Sony, who just lost all their data. Well, they didn't lose it. Someone posted a copy of it online. But you can kind of see that now getting a foot in the door via Fred, moving to Sue. Sue has access to information, and now the bad guy has access to all that information. Not good. Okay. Now, hopefully the file server then, you know, might have had a domain admin logged onto there, but let's just say for purposes of this example, the advanced persistent threat has just after information. They don't want to do damage, because if they do damage, you look really hard, really quickly to find where that damage is coming from. If you don't do damage and you're just collecting information, you're not looking for it because, you know, the users don't care and, you know, they always surf the internet all day and it just looks like someone's downloading a whole bunch of Windows 10 ISOs or something, I don't know, because all this traffic's moving around the network. So what other type of attack scenario could have? Very similar. Bad guy sends an email, sends a mass email to all the people in the organization, aka RSA. Lots of examples here of this happening. Sends an email and some secretary, he or she, might open the email and get infected on their computer using this bad email. Most of the people in the organization goes, oh, I don't know what this is, and goes, delete. But they get a foot in the door. Again, going back to my previous example, critical zero-day update, critical zero-day vulnerability in Flash, pretty important that you get that patched. Someone sends an email, but even if it's not a critical zero-day vulnerability, just making sure you're patched with what's actually current is really important because you're helping prevent these foots in the door that people can get, right? Has the patch been out there for a long time? Yes, right? But people will still try because they only have to, you know, one out of 100 organizations, you know. You just have to find that one that clicks yes that isn't patched. So again, a laptop gets compromised, it goes to another laptop, it just starts spreading. This is called the horizontal spread. Right? I'm spreading out on my workstations, all right? I'm going to workstation A, I'm going to workstation B, I'm going to workstation C, which happens to be the workstation that is used by the domain administrator in the organization. Now the domain administrator, again, doesn't normally log on to that machine, but once in a while they might install some software on their own machine. Who here has domain admin credentials? Come on, there's a lot of you. Who has ever installed software on their local PC with domain admin credentials? You can admit it, come on. It's not recorded, they don't see your face, they only see mine. Right? You've now cached your credentials on that machine. And until you change the password, your credentials are cached. What do you think a bad guy is going to do with domain admin credentials? They're going to go straight to the domain control and then own the entire domain and then go to do happy dance. Because they now own your entire network, right? What do they want to do with that? That is completely up to them. But as soon as they got domain admins, they've got the entire network, all right? That there is the bad guys. That's what they're after. They're after God-level access of your entire network. Now, they might not go straight to a domain admin. They might go to a server admin, and from the server admin, they jump to another server, and eventually find a server that somewhere has cached credentials for the server administrator group. All right. So, important distinction, cached credentials. Windows Server 2012 R2 had protected accounts, so you can actually apply security policies to your domain admins that prevents them to having NTLM credentials, but again, that mitigation prevents the NTLM, but you still got that 8-hour window. And think about it, if I had domain admins, I could probably do a lot of damage in 8 hours, right? All I have to do is start modifying the default domain group policy, right? And I've just, you know, in 2 hours, I've taken over the entire network, okay? So how can I actually start mitigating this? So there's a concept that Microsoft are now pushing. It's a tiered admin access. So who here has All right. Who's willing to admit that their normal everyday account that they use for email and web browsing has domain admins? Oh, God. Well, let's just pretend no one put their hand up. Okay, you need to not do that. Okay, who here has a separate admin account for their administrator and it's domain admins or whatever? Yeah, okay, great. The problem with that, though, is that you're still logging on to your local workstation with domain admins. And now it turns out that that's pretty much, as I explained before, it's pretty much as bad as actually having domain admins. So for those people who put their hands up at the start, don't feel so bad. Because those other people who put, most of you all, who put your other hand up, if you've ever logged onto a workstation, that workstation now, and you've in the last, since your last password was changed, that workstation now has now got credentials on it that own the domain. You're not logged onto it, but it's cached. Scaring your pants off yet? Hope so. Don't worry. Wait till the end. Okay, so Microsoft are now breaking this down into tiers, right? Tier zero, domain admins, or any account that has equivalent of domain admins, all right? Tier zero, if you were in Chris Jackson's session yesterday, if you weren't, go download it. It was talking of a very high conceptual model of this. But basically, tier zero, domain admins, you need a separate admin account for your domain admins. You should only use the domain admin accounts when you're doing something that requires domain admin access. You do not require domain admin access to log onto a server if it's not a domain controller. You certainly don't need domain admin access to have local administrator access. It's convenient, but of course convenience and security go together so well. No, not really, but you need to segregate it. You need to reduce the need for you to use this domain admins. You need another admin account. Sorry, don't pick the same password for this account either. Okay, you need a server admin account. So this is a general broad server admin. This is good practice. You know, your SQL Server admin should only have admin access to the SQL servers. You know, your SharePoint admin should only have admin access to the SharePoint servers. Yes, you're going to have a lot of, you know, globally, you know, countrywide, company-wide admin access to your servers. But make sure that those accounts don't have privileges up onto your domain controllers. All right, you're trying to segregate access so that if you do have a compromise, you stay within the tier. And it's far easier, right, to go back and sweep up messes when something does happen if it's been isolated to a specific tier. And then you have your tier two workstation admins. So yes, for some of you, you may now have three admin accounts. I am sorry. Right? It sucked when you had to move away from one account, which was your normal everyday account. All right? Because your mortal accounts, right? That back in my day, I had domain admins on my mortal account, on my normal account. It sucked when we had to move away from that. Well, guess what? It also now sucks that you have to have multiple admin accounts. This is kind of what you have to do now going forward, though, right? So you have, you know, maybe you have underscore ADM, underscore ADM 0, which is your domain admin to represent its tier 0, ADM 1 or ADM 2, right? Keep separate passwords. Well, let's face it, if you've got an account that's a domain admin, that's God-level access to your entire organization. You really want to keep that secure and not use it as much as possible, right? Server admins, that's fine. Workstation admins, great. All right, if you can segment workstation admins by region, that's even better, right? If you have an OU structure that's done by site, that's great, okay? Because then if you have a compromise of a workstation in site A, well, site A will get compromised and maybe the bad guy will be able to traverse that site, but they're not going to be able to go to site B or location B, okay? So this is straight from, you've got the reference there, you'll be able to download the slides. This is kind of how it kind of works out. As you can see here, we have tier two, which is your workstation admins. There might be some restricted, you know, by exception access that a workstation admin access might need to access something on a server, maybe like the deployment server. Right, server administrators can't log on to your workstation admins, workstations, full stop. And just like your domain controllers, your domain admins, sorry, they can log on to domain controllers, they cannot log on to your normal resource servers, right? You need to segregate, because what we're saying here is that you have to assume you're going to get compromised at some stage. All right, assume you're compromised from within. You need to put up, these are kind of like virtual walls within your organization. All right. So that's what I wanted to cover about tiering of admin access. This is a really good mitigation to compartmentalize security in your organization, so if something bad does happen, the access, the bad guy is at least confined, or is partly confined. So moving on. Group policy preferences were bad. I've already said that. Okay? Microsoft have already said this. All right? They released this on their KB. If you can't read that there, it says, the password is stored in the GPO sys file, is discoverable, although obscured. If you choose to store this password, you should consider creating a dedicated account for the purpose. Of course, the dedicated account that you'd usually use the group policy preference password option was to reset the local admin password on all your workstations in your organization. Problem with the group policy was that normally you just applied the same policy to all your workstations, which is great. You can update that every 30 days, change the password policy, no problem. What was the problem with that? If some bad guy compromised a workstation and they knew that they then got the local admin password, they now know the local admin password for all machines. Not only that, when you went to actually do this, the tool itself said, this password is stored in the GPO and is discoverable, although obscured. I like that word, obscured. All right, and back in 2009, they were blogging about it as well. You know, FYI, I think I did actually, when I demoed this back in 2009, I did actually say, you know, the password there, it's lightly encrypted. Heck of a lot better than being set via your logon script, which has no encryption whatsoever, right? If that was what you were previously doing. But why should I care now? Only a couple of days ago, the US Department of Cybersecurity have actually issued again a warning to say, do not use group policy preferences, all right? They are bad. Why? Who here has heard of Metasploit? It's a great security tool to analyze security in your network to see what's insecure. It's a great security tool for bad guys to see what's in your network that's not secure. One of the modules in Metasploit now allows you to scan your entire Active Directory to find all the group policies that have a password in it and then decrypt it. Great. If I ever forget my password, I know how to recover it, says the bad guy. So there's the URL there. So what is this lightly obscured? How lightly obscured is it? Well, it's a lightly obscured password stored in AD, so what? It's using 32-bit, 32, not 132, not 128, but 32-bit DES. And every single authenticated user in your organization can read it. All right, it has to be able to. Computers need to be able to read group policies so they know what to apply. Users need to be able to read group policies because the user group policies need to apply to them. What does it kind of look like? Well, it's called a C password, right? It's a C password string stored in some XML, and it looks like a, you know, okay, that's okay, that looks fine. I can't decrypt that with, you know, I'll look at that and go, well, that looks pretty well encrypted to me. Except you can find the decryption keys on the Microsoft website. Part of the Department of Justice, and I haven't heard this from Microsoft, but I'm just assuming, part of the Department of Justice antitrust decision was that all protocols that go via the network need to be documented. What's a protocol that goes via the network? Group policy, right? So they needed to document. If you don't want to go to that URL, it's okay, that's the password there. That is the password that is used to decrypt that. And I always make a note, in that document, they actually have it on two separate pages. So it actually says the 32-bit AES key is as follows, new page. So it's kind of like, we really don't want to tell people what this password is, but if we put it on two separate pages, maybe they'll get confused and think that we forgot the password. Right, so I just put it together. All right. So C passwords, group policy preferences are bad. What are Microsoft doing about it? Microsoft issued last year MS-14025, and it would have automatically gone out to all your computers in your organization. You probably installed it. And you might have noticed that some of these, well, actually all of these, you know, it's this example here. the password field there is slightly grayed out. That one's not. That one is. That one's not. But all those settings there, if you previously have in Grip Policy Preferences, the password field no longer works. The password field no longer works. Grip Policy still works. They haven't disabled C passwords. But if you had one set, they don't let you change it anymore. Right? They don't even let you clear it. Right? Which is a bit of a problem. Because now you have a bad password there that you can't change. Okay? I've even blogged about it a couple of times on my website, grippolicy.biz. It's a really great website with lots of resources about grip policy. How to set the local administrator account password to random, how to remove C password values. Talked about all this last year. Okay? But there's some new stuff. So, moving on, I'll show you how to actually press 8. Remove C passwords from your organization. Because C passwords or passwords grip policy preference, very bad. I think we can all agree. We all agree. Anyone think these grip policy preferences passwords are a great idea still? No, good. Okay. So there's a couple ways you can clear it. You can go in, you can get Notepad, you can open up every XML file and every grip policy that you have in your organization. Who here has more than 100 grip policies in their organization? More than 500. A couple hands. Yeah, more than 1,000? Anyone? No? Oh, one? Yep, okay. Very laborious task. But what does it look like? So let me open up a group policy that has a C password in it. Okay. Called C password GPO. Okay, and this is how I actually open up the sys file. This is my quick and dirty. If you actually want to go look at the system file, you actually go into logon scripts, click show files, and it actually opens the path in the system file where that group policy is. Then I have to just jump down a couple layers, machine, preferences, groups. Here's the XML file, open with Notepad. Okay, so there's the C password there. This is a group policy that I have configured. Note that this actual group policy, if you actually have a look at it, it's not linked anywhere. But if it was linked somewhere, it would have applied that password policy, which means you might have unlinked the group policy object thinking, oh, phew, safe. No, you're not, because the password's still in there and that password's still active because you haven't done anything about that password since you unlinked the policy. So, my good friend, fellow MVP, and I will just plug the... That's not it. 7? All right. SDM Software GP Preferences. I know the font there is really hard to read, but if you go to sdmsoftware.com, he's just released a tool. And this tool will go through your organization, scan your entire organization for C passwords, and then allow you to remove it. I'll let you take this screenshot of that. And how does it work? Well, this is it here, install. This is it. Really easy, install. You can copy it to a USB memory stick, click run, and it's like a portable app if you want. Otherwise, you can go install. I just click search. What this is doing is going through every single group policy object, looking at every single XML file, and looking for that string C password and seeing if any string that has the value of C password has actual a non-null value. So if it just double inverted commas and there's null value, that's fine. But anything other than that. And lo and behold, it found group policy preference found, and it's like, there you go. You found the C password. You want to purge your network for C passwords. Right? Because they're universal passwords that at some stage have been implied in your organization, and bad guys can find those passwords and then use them to attack your organization. So first thing, let's purge. How do I do that? I right-click and I go remove. GPO is backed up? Sure, my GPO is backed up. Backs it up anyway. All right. All that does is opens the XML nicely for you, rather than you having to crack it open in Notepad, and gets rid of that C password string, and it saves the file back. Okay? Waiting. It should. And now? If it works, that's what it should do. Hang on. It has worked before. I don't have the file open. No. Yay! Oh, it's backed it up. Okay, well, that was nice of it to back it up. Now remediating. Yay! Oh, that was a really quick remediation. It was the backup that took the most time then. Okay, vulnerable password has been removed. So if we now quickly go back into that group policy and have a look. Under here, which was my secret way. Scripts. Machine. Preferences. Groups. Edit. You actually find here that there's now no C password at all. It actually removes the entire C password field. Excuse me. Okay. So I've purged C passwords from my organization. Great. But I still have passwords out there. So how do I remove, well, now that I've removed the C passwords, how do I actually manage passwords? How do I actually manage local admin passwords on my machine? Well, at the time when that Microsoft KBN article came out, Microsoft did release a PowerShell script that allowed you to connect to machines remotely via WinRM and actually change the password on those machines. And I actually demoed that last year, and it was our way that you could manage passwords on all your machines in your organization. It kind of sucked, but it was a way. Because, you know, they took away the ability to manage passwords, so they gave you something back. Since then, there has been a tool released by Microsoft, which used to be a tool they used internally, I think, through their Microsoft professional services branch. They wrote this tool because they had the need, called LAPS, or the Local Admin Password Service. All right? What LAPS is, it's not a lapse in judgment. But what LAPS is it allows you to manage the password. And it allows you to manage the password in a very similar way to how you manage the passwords for BitLocker. Who has BitLocker installed in their organization, right? Where's the recovery key for BitLocker stored? In Active Directory user computers, if you're using that key recovery method. You can use certificates as well, but most people use it Active Directory user computers, right? Very similar. This tool allows you to save the local admin password to the computer account in AD and have it a value that only a limited number of people can view, and also update it periodically for you and save the new value into AD as well. Kind of sounds good. Means no new infrastructure. All right, you just use group policy. There is some installation. So what I'm going to go through now is actually how to do this, right? So the rest of it is going to be like, this is how you implement LAPS. You should be able to take this session, go back to work, and do it. Okay? Because, you know, it's great learning about new products, and I'm not saying this, you know, learning about new products isn't great. But it's nice to be able to take some of these golden nuggets back with you to work to actually learn how to actually implement. So when your boss goes, well, what did you actually learn? It's like, wow, I learned this great new way to manage passwords. Let's do it. Okay. Sorry, I know you can't see the slide. I'm just bringing up my cheat sheet. All right. So first of all, what we need to do, the local admin password service, there's a number of components with it. The first thing I'm going to do is install local admin password service on this machine here. Notice it's an MSI. Because it's an MSI, I can deploy it via msi.exe/i/quiet. Right, just silently to deploy the MSI. I can even just extract the admpwd.dll and just go regserve32.exe and that DLL. So really all this is doing is registering a single DLL for the group policy client side extension to work. Okay, so I'll use whatever method, group policy, SCCM, anything else to deploy this to the workstation. So there is something you need to install on the workstations. Right. By default, it'll just install the admin password GPO extension because that's normally all you'll need. But for this example, I'm just going to go through and install the Fat Client UI, the PowerShell module, and the group policy editor templates. I don't have to, but I just really need the Fat Client UI. But anyway, I'm just going to go through and install that. Okay, I'm just showing you. Just did. Hello, computer. There it is. Desktop UI. Pinterest taskbar. So I'll need that later. So I've installed the client agent. Okay. I also need to install the client agent on our server. Here's one that I've done earlier. I've installed the PowerShell tools, the PowerShell tools and the group policy templates on this machine. All right, so I've installed it on here. I'm going to open up PowerShell. What I have to do, remember what I said, is that the password for this is actually going to be installed in Active Directory, right? It's a schema change. There are two attributes that are added to the computer account object. Schema changes are not scary. I know they can be, right? And back in Windows 2000 days, when you made a change to the schema, it would replicate the entire schema again. Since 2003 days, it doesn't do that. It's just incremental, all right? And it's from Microsoft too. So, you know, if it breaks anything, you just go back to them and yell at them. But it's pretty straightforward. So what do I have to do? I have to import the module, of course. So I've imported the admin password module, and I just go update ADM PWD AD schema. And I'll just tab complete that. Ready? Now, yes, I have applied this before, so it does say entry already exists, but it would have just said done otherwise. Okay, so all I've done is I've gone through and I've modified, added two attributes and modified the schema for the computer account object. You only need to do this once. Done. It doesn't take long. Okay, so I've now enabled the new attributes. After I do that, what I have to be able to do is the computer accounts need the permission to be able to save the password, because this password update process is running in the context of the user account, or the computer account, sorry, not the user account, computer account, into that Active Directory attribute. So to do that, there is a PowerShell command. Now, if you're wondering where all these commands come from, when you actually download the LAPS tool, there's five files and three of them are the documentation. I highly recommend you download the documentation because it has all this in there. Okay, or you download this video, or you download the slide deck. Yeah. So ADM, PWD, computer. Yes, that's it. I love tab completion. Tab completion's great. Okay, so set admin password computer self, so the computer object can update itself. Identity. IDEN. Okay, so this is saying what OU you want to apply it to. You might want to apply it to your workstations OU. You might want to apply it to your entire domain. You might want to apply it to your servers OU. You might want to apply it to, you know, anything else. Excuse me. And now what we want to do, yeah, that's it. Delegated. Workstations can now update the password on the computer accounts themselves. Very important step. Okay, after we've done that, I'm just going to do find ADM password extended rights identity workstations. So once that's gone through, and this one I've already done. Oh, I'll do it again. So you notice here that this is showing the permissions that are applied to the OUs in the organization that have workstations in the name. Okay. Don't look at that. Pretend that's not there. I'll just cover that up. Look over there. Okay, so now what I need to do... What I now need to do is delegate two permissions to these objects. So it's great that the computer can actually save the password into this object. Domain admins can read it, but I've just explained to you how you shouldn't use domain admins all the time. So what you should do is have a security group, one that allows you to read the passwords, and one that allows you to reset the passwords, and I'll explain how the reset password process works in a minute. But basically, you have two groups. So you might have desk-side support go, well, I've got this workstation here, and for some reason, it's lost its computer account connection to the domain, something went wrong, blah, 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 I need to log on locally, all right? And they need to be able to recover the password, the local admin password. But then someone else in the organization, maybe in the IT security part of the organization, might go, oh, we think some passwords might have been compromised. We'd really like them to reset right away, if that's possible. And they can reset the password, but they might not have the ability to actually view the password. So there's those two types of roles. There's the viewer, and then there's the resetters. So what I'm going to do is delegate set add admin password. PWD. So you could go in, set admin read
password, permission, yes. Identity, typing is hard. Workstations. Dash allow principles, and this is now the name of the group. Admin. So this is a group I've created earlier called local PWD admin. I've now delegated the permissions so they can actually view. People can now actually have full admin access to the workstations because they can view it. Don't give this to everyone. Give this to only the people who really need the access. Most of the time, you should be able to log on to the workstations with your domain account. So this is really like breaking emergency glass sort of access to your machine. All right. What you saw before was if we have a look over here. Now, pretend that's there, because it is there, where the local admin password, this is the way you check. You could also crack open Active Directory using computers and look at the delegated rights. So all this PowerShell really has done is delegated the correct rights to the OUs that needed to be applied to the computer account objects. All right, it just makes it a bit simpler. All right, you can do it manually, and the documentation that comes with the tool shows you how to do it manually. And I tried to do it that once, and then I saw the PowerShell script, and I just didn't follow that. All right. So the other one that I want to be able to do is I want to be able to set admin password resetters. So now I'm setting the permission to reset the password. Oh. Reset. There we go. Sometimes tab completion, not so good. Identity, workstation. Allowed principles, corp slash. So now I've delegated the ability to reset the password. Okay, so enough PowerShell. I've delegated the ability to reset. Now I need to actually, there's group policies around this, all right? So I'm going to go in. I have, when I install the Lapse tool on a server and I select the option to install the password, what it does is it actually installs. Oh, did I delete it? Hey, that's okay. Dink, dink, dink. I think I just deleted the files from the wrong. What I'm doing is I'm getting the ADMX files, and I'm going to add the ADMX files basically to my system volume. Oh, not my system volume, my policy definition central store, so that I have the group policy settings available. Let's go, hey, look, there they are. Yay. I must have accidentally deleted it. Sorry. Oh, look, I had it on the desktop as well. Anyway, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the ADML file. I'm going to actually go to my policy definition central store, copy in. And look, you know, just to prove, you know, let's look at it before. There is no option there that says lapse, right? Okay, I'm going to copy the language, and this is the XML. Copy the XML. Okay, go back, edit. Lapse. So what I've done is I've now enabled the group policy settings that are used to manage Lapse. So you might deploy the client, you might delegate the permissions, but it's not going to do anything until you enable the group policies. First group policy you have to set. How complex do you want this password to be? I want large letters, I want small letters, I want numbers, and I want special characters, and I want it to be 14 characters long. I'm just going to make it 8. And I want the password age to be 30 days. All right, that's important. Leave it at 14. I'm just picking 8 because it's easy to type. Name of the administrator account to manage. So if you have disabled your local administrator account and created a new local administrator account that doesn't use the well-known SID for local administrator account, you can actually specify the name of that account here. But if you have renamed the local administrator account, it's smart enough to know that, yes, I know what the local administrator's account is called, even though it's not called administrator. That's right. But we're not going to do that. This is an interesting one. Do not allow the password time expiration to be longer than required. If you have a password policy in your domain that says it's shorter than 30 days, you want to be able to say, well, do you want to be able to change the local admin password every 14 days? Because you might have a password policy via group policy that is actually telling you to reset the password more frequently than this tool itself. So it's basically saying, well, what do you want to do when one expiration is longer than the other? Enable, well, we're going to leave that for now. This is the big red button. You need to turn this on, enable local admin password management. Apply. If you don't have that enabled, it won't work. All right, so in theory, it should be all set up. Now, as you might have seen before, this is probably going to already have one. Nope. Oh, that's good. Okay, this computer here, I've just gone back to Windows 10. I'm logged on as user Alan. Alan is both a resetter and a viewer or a reader of the password. Okay, the group policy has gone out to enable it. I'm going to do a group policy update now. So this will take about 2 hours. And we just wait. In your organization, it'll take 2 hours. But of course, you know, you send an email to everyone to say, please do group policy update. Ta-da, I just did search. That is the local administrator password on this machine. Doesn't have to be this machine. You don't have to have the tool installed in this machine. It's just convenient. Okay, I've typed in the computer name and gone search. It's queried Active Directory. It hasn't queried the local machine. But that's the password. And it tells you when it's going to expire next, right? 3rd of the 10th, right? Now, when the password expires next on the next group policy refresh after that date and time, it will change the password again. So it's not actually 30 days, it's about 30 days and 2 hours. Or 30 days and the time it takes for the user to plug the computer back into the network. All right? That's how long until the password will be set. All right, now, to prove that that's the case, let me jump back quickly. Win10A. There's the password there. And, you know, it wouldn't, you know, I have to prove that that's the actual password, hey? Sign out. I'm going to log on as a local administrator. /. Do you know that's the shortcut if you want to log on locally? With /? That's really cool. Because sometimes you type in administrator, and if you've got a lab or something like that, it's assuming it's a domain account or vice versa. And the password is $2. Don't tell any of my friends this password. $2SK3JD+. This is, I can check, see? Is that right? Looks right. Is it going to work? Yay! I've just logged on now. Local admin password with 8 characters. Yay, reset password, yay! Okay, and it will do that every 30 days automatically now. Every 30 days, that machine, password, automatically, updated, reset, done. You don't have to worry about it. Quick question. If you have more than one local administrator account, that's a local account? You've got that group policy object that allows you to specify a custom name for the local administrator. I think it's probably not the best practice in the world to have multiple local administrators on your machine. Really need to get away from that practice, right? You need to have some sort of backdoor. If you do need some sort of backdoor, a lot of people have their local administrator accounts disabled, okay? But the password might still be saved there. So it might be disabled on computer A, but it's not disabled on computer B, right? So you can maybe still get at it that way. So anyhow, moving right along. What I do here, I'll log back off, sign out. I'll sign on as someone. Sign on as Peter. Now, Peter doesn't have the ability to both view and set a password. Peter just has the ability to set a new password. Right, so this person can actually say, I want the passwords on these machines reset. Maybe they're like some sort of IT governance person or something like that, maybe. So what they do is they go and open this tool. They click set. Notice what it set the date and time to. I know I'm from Brisbane, so it set it to an Australian time. So sorry, there's 2 hours difference there. But notice it set the time to strike right away, right now. All right? So what that's done is reset the attribute in Active Directory. It says when the password should be set next. The next time you do a group policy update, it goes through, group policy goes, hey, password expiration? It's past the date. I need to reset the password. Updating policy, quicker. This is an SSD, so computer, excellent. All right, so I go back here. Watch this field. I'm going to go search again. Password's changed. All right, so you've now reset the local admin password on that machine. 2 hours later, it's actually done the change. Save the password into Active Directory. That's now the new password. This tool sets a random password, which means now every machine in your organization has a random password. Getting back to pass the hash, if computer A is compromised and it has a completely different local admin password to computer B, you can't reuse the same hash because the hash is different because it's a different local admin password. So can you see how this tool, by setting a random local admin password to every machine in your organization, helps mitigate, I say helps, mitigate pass the hash, right? Because that hashes on all your machines are now different for the local accounts, right? You should have a good domain password policy that sets, you know, highly, you know, complex, longer passwords for your domain. Those hashes still exist, but this is for the local ones, okay? So, any questions on that? Who here thinks that they want to do that now at, back at their work? Excellent, excellent. That's what I want to see, right? So, one other is, there was one other role that I'll just quickly demo. So I'm now going to log on as John. So you remember that there was two permissions that I could set. One was the resetter and one was the admin. So John can see the password, can see when the password expires, but when I try, when John actually goes, no, I want to set the password again now, John doesn't have the ability to actually reset that password. All right? So we've got the two roles that this tool supports, the viewer and the resetter. All right? Or, you know, most, you know, some of you might want to just have both, that's fine, okay. All right, excellent. I have 8 minutes, so it means it's bonus demo time. I actually do have a bonus demo up my hand, up my sleeve, I think up my sleeve. All right, so I've logged on as John, Peter, and Alan, right? But I can also log on as a domain admin. Now, I've reset the local admin passwords, but I don't want my domain admins logging onto my workstations. And I know you're all domain admins, and I know how incredibly hard it is to take advice from yourself. And even when you do tell other people, you don't do it yourself. So what do? So as an administrator, see, and look how it went, like it does default. So I've just logged on there with the default domain administrator account called administrator, and it allowed me to log on. So remember the tiering that we're talking about. Domain admin shouldn't log on to workstation. Domain admin shouldn't log on to servers. So how would we actually implement a control? Group policy is the answer, of course. So when we're talking about that, here's a group policy I edited earlier. I've applied this, it's this one here. I've applied this group policy. And what it does is denies deny log on locally, because when I log on locally, that's for the actual console. My credentials are cached. Also, deny log on through remote desktop services. Same thing. I log on locally, my desktop credentials are cached. I'm applying a group policy to my workstations that deny the ability for my domain admins to log onto them. I should also apply a similar one for my server admins, because my server admins are there to administrate servers and not workstation. Yes, again, it sucks that I have to have separate accounts if I do both, but hopefully you don't. Maybe it's a big organization, you have a workstation team and a server team. Maybe not. Maybe you have one team that does it all. If you have one team that does it all, they need to be treated as separate entities. But for this example, what I've done is I've applied a policy here that says deny. Other policies that I should apply, deny access to the computer from the network, right? You don't even want to be able to do remote tasks on those machines, all right? Anything that can trigger the password credentials. It means your domain admins should no longer be the admin accounts you use to manage your workstations, because they're the domain admins. They're not your workstation admins. Create a new group called workstation admins. Make that the Uber level admin group now for your workstations, okay? And if someone wants a workstation admin access, you give them workstation admin access. You certainly don't give them domain admins. In fact, you could go to the point of removing domain admins from the local administrator group. Again, using group policy preferences. That part of group policy preferences is not bad, and you can still use that. Okay? All right, so what I've done is I've gone through, I've already pre-configured it. So deny logon locally, deny through remote desktop. I'm just going to enable this now. So I'm currently logged on. Doing a GP update, again, 2 hours later. Computer, excellent. Sign out. Sign back in. I'm not allowed. This is a control to actually prevent your domain admins from logging on to your workstations. Now remember though, if I've just implemented that policy, my credentials are still cached on that machine. So if I don't have a password policy to reset my password on my domain admins, then that credential is still going to be valid. All right, so only after, like, example, 60 days, will that password credential then really truly be flushed from the machine, because then the domain admins would have had to change their password accounts. If it was a service account and maybe you have a fine-grained password policy, it's going to be a lot longer. But what I'm showing you here is a way to implement extra controls in your environment to actually enforce that tier level of administration that Microsoft are really now pushing hard. Okay? So in summary, this is all I have to do, right? No, absolutely not. There is heaps of guidance from Microsoft around pass the hash. There are heaps of other things that you can do. There's lots of Tech Ed at Ignite sessions on the Channel 9 website about pass the hash. Okay. This is a favorite line I have from a game that I had from I played a long time ago. Oh, what? Sorry. Oh, which one is it? Five. Bueller. Come on, is it six? Anyone? Seven? Man up the back's going, yeah. Oh, well, there you go. No! What was I saying? Price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Favorite quote I have from a game. Does anyone know that game? It's a Mark Hamill game. Yes, Wing Commander 4. Very good. Wasn't it Oren Thomas saying the average age of IT pros is something like 40? yeah, that kind of shows. But anyhow, price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Security is always something you need to be staying up on speed about. You can't rest on security. Heaps of great references from the Microsoft website. Literally go, Microsoft, pass the hash. There's a V1 document. There's a V2 document. The V1 and V2 documents are complementary, right? You need to download both and go through. You'll notice there's a heap of group policy settings in there, all right? There's a heap of things, you know, that rates from the highest to the lowest in effort versus reward, or what you need to do to keep your organization secure. Pass the hash. It's just good practice to mitigate it, all right? Security and convenience, unfortunately, don't go well together. Windows 10 has great pass the hash mitigation in it. And if you've moved to Windows 10 and you've got that, that's great. But let's be realistic. Who here is going to move off Windows 10 within the next week? See, not many. Maybe for our personal laptops, but not for work. All right, so there's still stuff you need to do. You'd still do this on Windows 10, right? But it's more important on down level because the parser hash mitigations like secure LSAS server being stored in a hypervisor is a Windows 10 feature, stuff like that. So I'm not saying, you know, Microsoft's not doing anything about it. They're doing heaps about it, all right? Lapse tool, there's a link there. And that's it. Thank you very much. I hope you had a great session. Please remember to fill out your evaluations. I'll be here for questions.